Good evening. Thank you all for joining me. This is Pastor Ricardo Dalton with Restoring Life Ministries. We're glad to have you all on tonight, those who are on. I had got a couple messages that some are coming on. But as always, I like to give a couple seconds for them to completely log on. We thank all those that have been listening, and I just want to send a special thanks and appreciation. And God bless you for all those who have been logging into our shows. Amen. Keeping us going on here on this Block Talk Radio. For all those who have been praying with us and for us, we thank you for the much needed prayer, and which goes with tonight, because tonight we're doing our study on prayer. Amen. And we just want to thank God. Amen. For all of you that are connected with us. For all those who are connected with us. You know, the enemy tried to stop us from getting on this particular showing. And we thank God that God sits on the throne. You know, we thank God for him sitting on the throne and making everything possible for us to be able to reach more people and to be able to reach those that don't have access to travel, those that desire to hear the word and or prayer, as we've been doing our daily morning prayer, morning glory at 6:30 a.m. Every day, and we've been back on the air again. So I just want to say thank you for all those who have been connected with us. And like I said, God bless you. I pray that you will continue to stay strong. Amen. So tonight we're going to be discussing prayer. We started off on salvation. We understand that Jesus Christ was sent down to earth. God created this world for us, and Jesus Christ was sent down to pretty much be our salvation. Amen. He died on the cross for us, shed his blood for us. He redeemed us and washed away our sin, that now when God sees us, he sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I am forever grateful and forever thankful to Jesus Christ for just right out there and being dead. And he said, no more yearly offerings that are not satisfying unto God. They're not staying satisfied. We don't have to come with bullocks and other lambs and sheep and different animals and shed their blood for our redemption and salvation. But we thank God for Jesus Christ, who unselfishly came down and sacrificed his life for ours. He paid the ransom, amen, for our life, that way we can have eternal life with him. For the Bible says in St. John 3:16, a familiar and very famous passage, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I thank God that he came down that we may have everlasting life, that we are not just down here and just going to die a sinful death, and that he's redeemed us. Amen. He redeemed us years ago for the next generation, for the next generation. Amen. Until he comes. Amen. So we thank God for that. Amen. We thank God for him. Amen. We thank God for him. For without him, we would not be here. Without him, we would fail. Without him, there would be no us. Without him, there is nothing that is worth living for. Amen. So we thank God and we bless him for what he did. Amen. And we went into, from there, we went into, amen, we went into from salvation, amen, into faith, because we understand that by faith, the world was made by faith. Enoch went to heaven by faith. Moses did what he did by going back to Pharaoh and saying, hey, let our people go. By faith, the world was created. Amen. And we thank God for understanding faith, believing, and knowing that even though we may not see it with our natural eyes, amen, God is still the throne. And God is the God that made man. God is the God that created this world, that created this earth. That by him was everything made, and without him was nothing made. Amen. It's our faith in God that pushes us to receive the blessings of God. But the Bible speaks that it's impossible to please God without faith. Amen. We must have faith to please God. We want to make God happy, have faith. We want to make him smile, have faith. Believing, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall we hear? Amen. If there is none that can teach, amen. And how can there be one teacher that was none sent? Amen. So we thank God for hearing the word of God and believing in the word of God and receiving salvation through Jesus Christ's blood. Amen. So on tonight, we're going to be diving into, amen, prayer, which is a very important aspect of your faith walk with God. Now, everyone, we hear people that they pray all the time. I pray for this. I pray for that. You have Christians and non-Christians, or believers in Christ and non-believers. You have people that pray for all sorts of things. People pray to the universe. People pray to other gods. People pray to statues. Amen. And I never understood why people pray to statues, but statues is just statues. Statues not going to do much for me. Amen. But still sit right there. You know, it may be a great listener, but it can't produce nothing for me. It can't give me anything but a blank stare and an empty ear. Amen. So when I pray, I want to know that I'm praying to something. I'm speaking to something. Amen. So that is what we're going to talk about today. To the first part of prayer, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into the scripture, St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. That'll be our basic scripture for tonight that we're going to expound on tonight. But before we start, let's pray. Amen. So with your open hearts, Father God, that on tonight, Lord God, that Father God, really simply, Lord God, that we look at you and humbly we just thank you that you are God of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the mighty God, the ruler of all, the creator of this world, the creator of everything. We thank you for being our Father, everything that we need, everything that we don't even understand, Lord God. We thank you for being who you are. Thank you. We bless you on tonight, Lord God, and we ask that you will remove any obstacle that wants to hinder us from hearing what your word says unto us on tonight. Lord God, we thank you that you will bless our ears and open up our hearts, open up our ears to hear what the Spirit does say to the church. Lord God, we thank you for removing those thoughts, Father God, removing those things in our past that will hinder us from life. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us life and that more abundantly, Lord God, and we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. King, Lord of Lords, mighty God, Heavenly Father, in Jesus we pray, amen. Now, go with me, amen, to St. Matthew. We're going to go to chapter 6. Excuse my voice. My body is feeling a cold, amen. But I don't claim it, but I reject it. Thank God for doing a new thing in us. Amen. I thank God for doing a new thing in us. St. Matthew chapter 6. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If you hear me pause, it's not because I don't have nothing to say, because I'm just a little overwhelmed right now with how good God has been. Amen. And not just for me, but I'm just excited for what God has done is a testimony, amen, that came our way. Amen. I'm just so grateful. Amen. I'm just so grateful. So, St. Matthew, I'm giving you time to find it. Some that know where it is. It's great for others that don't have no idea. Well, St. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Amen. It's after Malachi and before St. Mark. Amen. Or you can go into your Bible and go into the index of what page you should be on. Amen. I'm not going to rush you. Amen. But while some of you are still finding it, or maybe you're getting things together, to putting the kids down, getting people ready, amen. I just want to share a testimony. Amen. Just put right on the line. Amen. With the next theme on prayer. Amen. We were called a few some days ago, maybe I'll say about a week ago, my wife and I had got a text message from a young lady who's a part of the ministry, and she's coming back to her relationship. She rededicated herself back to God, amen. And she grew up in church. She grew up in, you know, our faith folk. You know, we grew up with our faith folk, and not all the folks that was in the church were saved and delivered. Let me put it that way. They may have been saved, but they wasn't delivered, and some of them was probably trying to deliver it. Amen. But she grew up in a ministry where a lot of us have testimonies where the ministry kind of beat us up for faults that we may have occurred during our walk with God. And she then left the church. But then she came back to God. Amen. She gave herself back to God and said, you know, should we dedicate herself to the Lord? I'm here, you know, for your glory. You know, and ever since it's been a struggle for her. Amen. Just as most of us have struggled. Amen. Everyone has a different struggle. But it's been a struggle for her to get back to where she wants to be in God. Amen. But we've been talking with her and counseling with her. Amen. But something happened to her son where all of a sudden her son, just maybe about almost a week ago, was just sitting home and went into a crazy asthma attack where the asthma attack took control of the little boy's body and the breathing had to be, amen, and so it began to stop, amen, and he was rushed to one hospital, amen, that hospital, some reason they couldn't accommodate what the child needed, amen, and so what happened was they transferred him to another hospital, and from the text that she gave, and then we have to give her a call and talk to her more to see, you know, exactly what's going on. And she simply can tell us that, you know, her child, you know, breathing is really bad and certain issues going on with the child. Amen. And without hesitation, we just pray. Amen. Without hesitation, we pray. And the testimony is not because we prayed, it's just like that prayer went forth. But I'm pretty sure she spoke to other people. And other people was praying too. It's like when Peter, amen, was in prison. He got in prison. Amen. The church began to pray without ceasing to the point where the angel of the Lord went and freed Peter from his bondage. Amen. That's a message right there for some of you that are on that cortex. As you pray without ceasing, without stopping, as you keep on talking to God, no matter what the situation may be, amen, no matter what the situation may be, God is still on the throne, amen, and God is hearing you, and God is understanding what you need, and God is that God of action. He's not just a listening God. He's not just a God that understands, but he's a God of action, amen. And immediately she called us back, she texted us on our phone to get better, amen. And this is just a preview for it, because when we understand that God can do anything, and that there is nothing that God cannot do, then we can totally and freely come before his throne and say, Father God, here I am, here's what I need. I know you already know what I need, but let me talk to you, God. Let me talk to you. And she herself began to pray, and my wife and I prayed for her and the child, and I'm sure others were praying as well. But when she texted back and said his breathing started to get better, but they're going to keep him and just observe him for a while. After all the issues that she had told me what was going on with the child, for all of a sudden, this child, Yelabasha, for this child just to go and start breathing correctly again, we began to rejoice where we were at home. Amen. And that is just a praise testimony, because when you know who God is, no matter what your level is of Christianity and faith, no matter what your level is, if you're a newcomer, you're building up on your faith, but you know God can do things. You may not understand how far God can do things because you're still learning. But even for some of us that even know ways in what we believe and how far we believe in what God can do. Amen. But when someone that is sick, amen, to the point of dying, when people are sick to the point of dying, and God begins to touch that person and bless that person and heal that person, my God, it's such an amazing thing. And it increases your faith. Amen. Because you have to have faith to pray. You have to have faith to trust. You have to have faith to believe in God. You have to have faith. So when you combine your faith, amen, your belief system, the ability to believe in something that you cannot see, and you begin to pray, which is communication with God, is more than just what you know. I was looking through the different definitions and the different meanings and the different ways that different people talk about what prayer is, and most of them just think prayer is asking God for something, or prayer is asking, or prayer is making a request known to someone else. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer is way more than just asking someone for something. You know, it takes you into a whole new dynamics of who God is and who you are in God. Amen. And prayer will increase your faith, because as you continue to pray and you begin to see the different things that you are praying for line up to what God is doing in your life, you may have prayed for a job and you didn't know how the job was going to come. I'm sorry, you might get me clapping. I'm just getting excited. Thank you, Jesus. It reminds me of a preacher named Nick Houston. Whenever he starts talking, he claps his hands. Thank you. And just reminded me of that. Praise the Lord. But when you begin to line up your faith with what God can do, and whether you believe it wholeheartedly or not, but your request is made known unto God with sincerity, God will begin to do things in your life. You may have paid for a job, amen, but God says, okay, you need more than a job. I'm going to give you the job, the finances, and the way, and the know-how. And that will add to what you need, amen, just because you have faith in him. You may not have faith in yourself. You may not believe that your mother can help you, that your papa can help you. You may not believe that your wife or your husband can help you. You may not even believe that your children or the people that are supposed to be able to help you, amen. But when you believe that God can do it, my God, all things are possible to them that believe. That's what the Bible teaches us. If you believe, you know, I know we the old school church, we're supposed to, if you believe, then you receive. Some people try to denote that and say, well, there is a process. Yes, we understand that there is a process after we pray. We understand there's a process when we come back to God. We understand that there's a process from point A to point B. But what I'm trying to infuse in your mind tonight is that when you can believe something so strongly, now, there are times when, for those of you who have ever heard of Benny Hinn is a faith minister, faith preacher, preacher on healings and miracles, amen, and government and people and even other Christian leaders tried to denote who he was and say, oh, he's not healing no one, he's not really healing no one, there's no real healing going forth over them. These people and their messiahs are going to say, if you have a strong belief in anything, then it will produce something. And I'm like, wow, they're really trying to know who he is. Now, I can understand the non-believers in Christ, but when the believers in Christ and the well-versed in scripture and the preachers and the bishops and the prophets begin to say, oh, Benny Hinn's not healing no one, I begin to question who they are in God. But the funny thing came when Benny Hinn got on the roster and on the podium and made a statement, and he said, I thank God for all of you men and women of God who is telling everyone in the world that I am not healing anyone. And he says, I'm glad you said that, because you are exactly correct. I have not healed anybody. And I began to start laughing, and I said, you know what, this guy, I said, he got it right there. He says, I have healed no one, but all I've done is lead people to the healer. And the healer began to heal people. He said, I don't have healing hands. He said, God has put the anointing in my life. And if God don't give me the anointing, there's nothing I can do, because it's not me doing it, but it is Christ Jesus. And he understands the aspect of who is the giver of the gift and how it's benefiting you. If you believe it, then you shall receive it. If you can believe in God, in God's power so much that whatever you need from God, God will provide it for you. Now, it may not come in your time frame. It may not come when you desire it, but the Bible teaches us that our God is an awesome God and that our God is an on-time God. We all know the phrase, may not come when you want him to, but he's always right on time. Amen. I just thank God for what God does so much that it's just amazing. That when we begin to talk to God, if y'all get me excited, and I'm trying to stay, you know, decent right now because we're on air and people don't want to sound like we're on Sunday service, but I'm telling you, I don't care whether it's Bible study, I don't care whether it's me talking to someone in the street, I don't care if we're in a Sunday service writing about God, the excitement comes out your mouth. When you're telling someone about a great party, you don't say, oh, well, that's party, I enjoy myself so much. You should go there too. My excitement is so high. No, but you're going to be like, man, you should have been at that party. Man, we had a great time. The DJ was cooking. The people were dancing. That's the same way I am for God. When I begin to talk about God, I begin to build up an excitement because that there is such good things that God has transversed into our lives, that the more I understand who God is, and the more I see God at work, and the more the more I become involved in what God is doing, the more I see it and live it, the more excited I get. Amen. And that's reading your word every day. That's talking to God. That's being one with God. Amen. So I just thank God for that. So praise God for the delivering of that young man who the young lady contacted us about her son. And they came home. They are home on today. Thank you, Jesus. The boy is looking well, walking well, smiling, laughing, having a good time. Where just a day ago, the boy could hardly read. And and he was getting worse and worse and worse. Amen. But the power of God and the power of prayer and just God's love for his beloved. Amen. God, you can praise God right there by yourself. We can have a praise service right here and finish prayer next week. See, because when I think of the goodness of Jesus, thank you, Lord. See, I'm still alive here. I'm still on the right path. You have to stay with me. See, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. That inner thing that is telling me, the thing that God burst inside of me, that soul has the thing. I get so excited and I get so grateful that my soul just begins to cry out. Even when my mouth can't do it, even when my hands get ballistic, there's that immersion of excitement and what God is on the inside of me that begins to just shout, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. See, I thank God because I'm telling y'all, like just a day ago, a young boy couldn't breathe. Today, a boy is breathing and running and jumping around. And anyone that knows anything about asthma or knows anything about breathing problems, when you have breathing problems, you can't move right. You can't walk right. You can't talk right. You can't even hardly sit up right. You can't look around correctly. But to see a young boy jumping and running and just moving about like nothing had happened, see, that's the power of God. When God touches you, you're not going to see no remembrance of what the thing that was on you. You're not going to see nothing that, you see, just like the Hebrew boys, you know, they was in the fiery furnace, and the enemy decided to make the furnace 7 times hotter, excuse me, 7 times hotter than what it's supposed to be. And look at the power right here. These boys believed God. These boys trusted God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These boys believed in who God was, and they said, even if he doesn't deliver us, we know that he is able. And God saw so much faith in who he was in their lives that, look at this, they went into the furnace. And the people that threw them in the furnace died instantaneously because of how hot the heat was at the furnace after they turned it up 7 times. See, the devil will turn up pressure on you. The devil will put pressure on your life, will put pressure on your mind, will put pressure on your situation and your circumstances. The enemy will send the heat up 7 times hotter, 10 times hotter. He will make it harder for you just because you trust in God. But here's the power of God. They went in there, and the person that pushed them inside of there died because of how hot it was. They cannot even stand the heat of things. There's people around you that when the enemy, the things are higher, people around you who have been coerced or influenced by the enemy to do wrong unto you, that when they do wrong unto you and you say, listen, I know who God is in my life, whether he does it now or whether he does not do it. Doesn't matter if he does it, we know that he is able. And when God acknowledges that and knows that you believe in him the way he believes in you, then he will say, you know what? The person that is after you, the person that's trying to destroy you, the person that's trying to break you down, the person that's trying to end your life, the person that's trying to confuse your mind, the person that's trying to steal your man or steal your woman, the person that's trying to mess with your kids, those people, as they are trying to throw you into the fire, they will begin to die off because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And God is the redeemer and the deliverer of those who diligently seek him. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so as it was in the fire, the king Nebuchadnezzar looked down and said, did we not just throw three people in them? And, you know, you may think that you are in the situation by yourself. See, we still on prayer. Just follow me. This is still about prayer. Thank you, Jesus. But you may think that you are in a situation by yourself. You may think that there is no one out there helping you. You may think you are all alone. But when you begin to put your whole trust in God and you begin to let God know, God, for God I live and for God I die, there is nothing that shall bother me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And when you begin to just know these things about God and acknowledge Him in your life, God is saying, listen, you're not in this by yourself, baby, but I'm standing right here with you. I'm standing right here next to you. You may not see me, but I'm standing here with you, right by your side. And God is so open to that fact that someone even wrote a poem about Him, and they called it Footprints, that even when you couldn't even walk for yourself, they saw the two, they saw the one set of footprints, but then they see two sets of footprints, and then they see one set of footprints. First, you are walking, but then Jesus says, I'm going to walk with you, baby. I'm right by your side. I'm standing there with you. I'm walking with you. You may not have seen Him, but then when things got a little bit hard, things get a little bit harder for what you can handle. See, God will give you what you can handle, and He will not put more on you than you could. So that's what He's working with you, because He's going to look at you. You can handle this part. You can't handle that part. You can handle this. You can do that. But then when they saw the one set of footprints, people were like, well, and the man in the pool said, listen, I only saw one set of footprints. Then Jesus leaves me, and Jesus is saying, no, baby, I was right there the whole time. See, I walked with you to the point where you can handle it for yourself. But then the part that you couldn't handle for yourself, those set of footprints was mine, because I girded you up, I lifted you up, and I carried you over those points, over those obstacles in your life that you could not have made on your own. So you did the part that you could do on your own, but then I lifted you, I girded you up, I put you on my shoulder, I put you on my back, and I carried you over those. And that's the power of God right there. You may think you're alone. Sometimes we just got to say, you know what, I give myself away for you to use me, Jesus. Because if I give myself away and I acknowledge who God is in my life, I'm allowing God to carry me through my problems. Thank you, Jesus. I'm allowing God to walk me through every situation. Thank you, Jesus. So looking at the scripture, the other mess with me, man, because y'all got me on, you know, they got me preaching over here in this Bobby Bible study, and I think I heard an organ somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. But God, I'm telling you, God is so good. And when you just begin to believe, this is probably a summary of salvation and faithfulness. But it, you got to understand those aspects if you're going to pray. Now, people pray all the time and God doesn't hear them. People pray all the time and no one understands what they're praying about. But God is teaching us how to pray, how to be one with Him. Now, praying is communication with God. Prayer is a communication, like I said, it's not communication with God Himself. You want to get to know your honey bunny, you want to get to know your cupcake or your blueberry, you're going to talk to that person. You're going to communicate with that person. You're going to begin to have a dialogue with that person. Amen. I remember growing up, I used to pray. And I said, Lord, I said, Jesus, I'm tired of having a monologue. I want to hear you. I want to have a dialogue with you, Jesus. I want to talk to you, and you talk back to me. I don't want to just talk to empty space. I know you're up there, Jesus, but talk to me, too, you know? And then after a while, somebody say, after a while, it'll all be over. Thank you, Jesus. That's the only time. Push me. See, God began to speak to me. Amen. Because why? Because I took myself. Now, unselfishly went before the throne of God, and I began to talk to Him. Even though at one point I couldn't hear Him back at the beginning, but as I began to keep talking. Do you ever try to get a girl, you know, for the gentleman out there that's listening, you know, or for the female, try to get a young man's attention, and at first they're not really paying you much attention, or they may be hearing you, but you're not saying the right words yet, I guess. You know, you're not saying what you need to say. Amen. But you're trying to get the attention, and you're trying to excuse me, you know, hey, girl, you look so fine, or whatever you say these days, I don't know. You know, I haven't had to do that in a long time, Jesus. But I thank God for my water tank, Jesus. But I think the thing is, when you got the communication, when you got the dialogue, now you already know what to say. You don't got to try and figure it out. when I come home, I say, hey, baby, how you doing, people? You know, sweet sugar. She's like, hey, big daddy. You know, we say the things, you know, we say what we need, you know, we say the things that we know is going to please the other person. And that's what it is. When you come before the throne, you want to please God's ears the way he can say, you know what, oh, that sister or brother talking to me right now. Let me turn my affection, not just turning my ears, turn my affection to my child. When you get God's attention, God is listening to you. That's what you want. You want God to listen to you. God's like, well, I'm going to listen to you first before I say anything, because you're saying all these good things about me. I don't want to stop you. No, God loves praise. God loves praise. Amen. God loves praise. So when you begin to praise God and talk to God and magnify God, God is sitting there saying, okay, I see what's going on. I don't want to say that yet because you may stop. But, you know, this is sounding pretty good over here. I thank you for talking to me, you know. But prayer is communication. And when you start a communication, you can talk to God for hours. Communicating is getting access to one's ear and one's devotion. When you're getting access to one's devotion, they're giving you devotion with time. They're giving you their time, their unsolicited time. And when you get God's attention, God is giving you his time. And when you're praying to God, you're communicating with him. Whether you're crying, whether you're screaming, whether you're talking in a low voice, or whether you're talking in a high voice, you are getting God's attention and you're communicating. You're spending quality time with God. That's why the church prayed without ceasing. They said, okay, Lord, we understand communication. One of our brothers is in help. So they went, we're going to talk to you until you deliver him. God is like, well, okay. Let me sit here and communicate back with you. But God answered the prayer while they were praying. And that's the word that God said he will do. He will answer your prayers before you say amen. And the truth is in the pudding. But they were still praying when Peter knocked on the door. And who knows how far that jail cell was from where they was. And who knows see, the Bible tells us that angel came down, loosed his shackles, and told him to follow me. So who knows? He probably led him around all them soldiers, led him around the other police that was out there at the time. Because understand, Peter was standing between two guards. He was standing between two guardsmen. Not just in the cell by himself, but he was in the cell in between. So that means that Peter was such a threat because of who he was in God, and because he believed the word and the report of Jesus Christ, that they didn't just put him in a cell, but they put two guards in the cell with him. See, people don't catch that part. Peter was in the prison in between two guardsmen. At the same time, they had a guard at the door and another guard on the other side. That means when the angel came and loosed his shackles, that means the two guards were still standing there while the angel saying, come on, Peter, let's follow me, let's go. So he had to lead him past the two guys that were directly next to him, past the guy that's watching the gate, and past them. You know, this is a prison, so you know you have to go through some wards probably to get outside the prison building. So the angel of the Lord directed him all the way through. See, and that's what God will do for you. As long as you keep praying, you keep fasting, you keep talking to God, you keep believing in him, no matter what your situation is, God will make a way of escape. You know, I'm telling you, God will make a way of escape. And just sitting there in your situation, just trust God. You want peace? You want salvation? You want deliverance? Keep praying. Pray without ceasing like the church did. And God will send that angel by and take you up and direct you out of your situation. Now, the situation will still be there, but God will direct you out of it. And then you'll be like, well, I'm free. The situation is like, hey, what happened to the things we're trying to keep down? Where'd it go? Oh, we got to find somebody else then. Because now you're free. Prayer is devotion. Communication. Understand that. Write it down. Put it on paper. Put it in your mind. Put it in your heart. Prayer is communication. It's more than just asking God for something. Otherwise, we'll be the most selfish people in the world when the only time we talk to our Creator is when we want something. It's the only time you talk to your wife or your husband is because you want something or because you want to know how good they feel. So when you talk to your mate, when you talk to your friend, and you talk to your children, you don't always ask them for something. You probably hardly do. So you don't want them to think that you're just a beggar all the time. So we should treat God the same way. Don't just always ask the same. Don't just be a beggar. Don't just be a someone that uses him for what, just because of his good things. We know a cattle on a thousand hills are his, but don't be begging him for it, because he tells you he's going to give it to you. So do you beg somebody for something that the devil said he's going to give to you, or do you just wait for it? Amen. That's a message by itself. My daughter said, wait for it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You just wait for it. You keep begging, you're going to keep on waiting. But he's saying, I'm waiting for you to just believe I'm going to give it to you, and then you can have it. You ever wonder why you didn't get certain things? Maybe because you keep asking God for it. God is saying, listen, when you start asking me, I'm going to get it to you. Keep asking me, oh, they think they get. Can't believe yet. It's Jesus. But when you with your friends and you with your partners and you with your homies or you with your wife, and my wife is my homie, she's my partner, she's my best friend. She's all those in one big nutshell. Amen. So when you talking to them, I'll be like, hey, honey, how you doing? How was your day? You know, what's going on? You know, tell me how about you. I'm not going to start talking to you, say about me. Tell me about you. And she asked me the same thing. Now, it's funny, when during the times, even right now, when you're not working, amen, some people don't know what to talk about throughout the day. But me and her to talk all day long, every day, around each other, not with each other. Maybe we need each other. We call in, hey, what you doing? Even though I just left you 3 minutes ago, I want to know what you've been doing in those 3 minutes. Shoot, did I miss something special? You know? That's communication. That's prayer. God, how was your day? You're dealing with millions and billions and billions of people all day long, asking you and begging you and talking about you and all kinds of things. God, what's going on, man? Talk to me, God. Now, it may seem silly to the natural mind to say, we can't talk to God like that, but God wants communication. I look at God and I walk down the street and say, man, God, you crazy, man. Now, am I calling him crazy? No. I'm just talking to him the way I talk. And God knows how I talk. Am I disrespectful to God? No. I'm letting God know, listen, man, hey, man, hey, I don't know what you're doing, man, but it's working. Thank you. I don't got to sound all special. The Bible tells us, don't be that way. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in synagogue. Well, for some of you that say, well, what do you mean, don't be like the hypocrites? Do we all know, we all call people hypocrites, and it's funny because we only call Christians hypocrites, we don't call nobody else hypocrites. You know, I don't understand that one, but that's just the deception of the enemy, amen? That's just the deception of the enemy, amen? Amen. That's just a big deception because the enemy wants to fight anything that has Jesus' name on it. The enemy wants to fight anything that has Jesus' name on it. But you know why? He don't want you to say Jesus because every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. See, demons flee at the name of Jesus. You see, the enemy is scared of the name of Jesus. So one thing he wants you to do is not put Jesus' name in anything. So, biggest thing they're going to hypocrites are Christians. And what are they hypocrites? Amen. Well, let me tell you right now, I wrote it down. I said, let me write this one down so make sure I say it the right way. Hypocrite is a person who pretends to have virtues, morals, or religious beliefs. They preach one thing but does something else. So Jesus is saying to us, he's saying, listen, I'm gonna use that in the scripture. As when thou prayest, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the people that are making you believe that they're something that they're not. For they love praying standing in synagogue to be seen of men, so they can look upright, they can look important, they can be like, hey man, look at me, I'm praying. But I want you to ask yourself this question or realize this statement. When you know someone praying and really praying, you can know someone that has a relationship in prayer with God by the outcomes that happen in their life. Now, it may not be outcomes that you want to see in their life. If you want to see blessings in their life, you want to see them walking around with peace. Shoot. I can understand this. This Bible is one aspect right now. There are people living in shelters right now that they live in shelters and they're depressed. They are beaten down in their mind. They feel less than a person. They don't understand situations going on. But then you have other people that live in the shelter, and they're praising the Lord. They happy. They got some kind of peace in their life. And there's two different sides of the coin. You got some that's like, oh, me, oh, my, why am I here? I can't stand being here. I'm just mad just because of where I'm at. And the other ones are saying, well, I love God. I believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm in a situation, but the situation is not in me. I may be in this situation right now, but I'm not of the situation. The situation is not going to make me. I'm going to make the situation through Jesus Christ and through my belief in Jesus Christ and through communicating with Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk to him about whatever's going on, and I'm going to let God take care of the rest. You see, you're going to push me, and I only got 90 seconds left. Thank you. But don't be as a hypocrite. Amen? For they love to pray standing in synagogues and in corners of the street that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. The next verse, verse 6. Amen. Amen. Pray that y'all can still hear me. Thank you, Jesus. I have a few seconds left to try to cut me off. Thank you, Jesus, but the devil is a liar. If I talk about the name of Jesus, they want to just cut me off, but that's all right. I got 10 seconds. But what are we going to do? Being that we got 10 seconds, I'm going to ask that y'all join us again. Today is Thursday night, I believe. You know what? We're going to make the devil mad. Join us again tomorrow night at 7. We're going to continue in prayer. In Jesus' name, y'all have a blessed night. I love you all. And don't forget, Morning Glory at 6:30 a.m. Amen. Morning Glory at 6:30 a.m. Tune in with us, and we're going to have a blessed time in the morning praying for half an hour and reading. We're praying for about 15 minutes and doing our condemning spiritual confession, speaking to ourselves for the day. Amen. Speaking God's word into our life. God bless you for all those who are on with us. And look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Morning Glory, 6:30 a.m., tomorrow evening at 7, for Bible teachings with Restoring Life. This is Pastor R.L. Dalton. God bless you. Love you all. Have a blessed night.